Well, you know, TM, when it was young, or even today, right, sold TM as a relief, right? As a transcendent relief for one's, right, angst and suffering and stuff like that. That the use of the mantra and the ritual around the mantra would give you lower blood pressure, spiritual experiences, stamina of all kinds. And, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, it's not unlike Byron Katie's, you know, list of how, what the work can do for you, right? And so these early incursions of Eastern contemplative practice in the West were as ameliorative. Snake oil. It wasn't sit down and have an intimate encounter with the fact that you are unruly, chaotic, and you'll never not be that. It wasn't sold that way. It was like, no, no, you'll become calm and efficacious.
So I want to do the eggs, potatoes, and mushroom, and other stuff that I usually do. Is that okay? Or
yes.
And some kind of meat.
We might die of protein starvation if we don't add any meat.
Thanks.
Right. Yeah. What are we talking?
Can you tell?
We got a couple things to say.
Do our best. So any of these solution sets, this includes, of course, you know, autobiography of a yogi, self-realization fellowship, right? All of these things have all been presented as ameliorative. But to what? So the real Tantra emphasizes an intimate investigation into the nature, geometry, structure, texture, feeling, tone of consciousness itself. Because then you can learn something. If you skip over that foundation of your house of cards, then you just end up playing around with ameliorative snake oil, but you don't really know what it is you're hoping or trying to accomplish, unless it's low blood pressure and relief from one's
relief. We know what we're trying to accomplish. It's relief.
There you go.
Over and over and over, and there's a sinking sense that, wait a minute, the last one didn't work, but I'm going to try again, and then just sink a little lower each time. You muster up another, oh, maybe this one.
Well, then that's what's worth, I think, calling into question, because we have endless, right, replies to the myth of relief in the, right, umwelt of the species.
Yeah.
In the entire, yeah, right. That's, those are a dime a dozen.
Well, I mean, I guess not everybody needs to have the kind of
Well, you don't have to justify your profession.
Well, you're never going to tell a child, like, oh, she's this. You know we're losing your dolly, your grandma. You know, it's just, you know.
I wouldn't say that's a poignant reply to anyone's suffering. As in, just get over yourself.
Wait a minute, we've done that here.
Well, we're adults, marginally speaking.
But some people aren't adults.
Yes. If it's lovely to take time out to pay homage to those that are suffering, take a second or two and then get over it. Because your work is present.
Yeah.
your work, your interest, your revelation is this right here. One doesn't have to be distracted by the imaginary suffering of the imagination that there's anybody else but you. Maybe it's a little Hinayana, right? In the Buddhist thing, you know, these two fundamental branches, the Hinayana is the narrow path, the Mahayana is the more, you know, so-called compassionate path. And there's a lot more nuance than that, of course. But just for fun, go Hinayana, meaning deal with experiencing occurring in you, as you, to you, as the sole event. And then other suffering persons just, I mean, really, they can go. And we treat them that way anyway, even though we may be in the profession of assisting others. Still, you can't help but do this because your own experience is the universe.
Don't you think that moving through the experience of what her profession, whatever it is, it's just moving through the experience of...
Yes,
the
yeah.
profession.
Yeah, of
That's
course.
That's all it is.
Of course, yes.
So there's no reason, there's no right or wrong thing. Decide to do.
Right. Or not right, but yeah, it depends on how you feel about it. Of course. What I'm suggesting is getting underneath the conventional approach to responding to the brilliant vicissitudes of human living by going into an ameliorative process to quiesce one's foundational anxiety and confusion.
So then if it's gone into simply as an enriching experience, then that has a different quality. Then going into it to ameliorate the suffering of this.
Well, I mean, if you have a different goal, I mean, if you want to put it in goal-oriented terms, I guess. I mean, but you're not expansive at that point. So, you know, your expansion ends at the wall of feel good, you know?
But I wouldn't say that it's about feeling good for either. It's an experience.
Or maybe not feeling bad.
It's a deep experience of this.
Well, I mean, some of the other tips are like about being hung up, you know, by, you know, or what is it, the sun?
Childhood trauma.
No, like the, like,
oh,
you know, those sun, two
yeah,
things.
The sun work.
Yeah, it doesn't sound
Sundance,
very, you know, it's kind of
ritual.
Quite the amusement.
Piercing
yeah.
your
yeah.
own flesh to
yeah.
hang from a tree.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so in.
Richard Harris.
Yeah, Richard Harris.
Yes.
Well,
starving
yourself.
Well, you know, the Maharishi.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Supposedly, you know, he just knew that if he went for the gusto, you know, it would never fly. So he presented the whole thing in.
Is this what he said, or his public relations people said?
This is well, according to this guy who's very close in the organization, he met him. He sat with him like several times, and he's a big shot in it. He's a friend of, used to be a friend of mine. I haven't seen him. That it was a bait and switch tactic. I mean, it was, you know, get him in a tactic. You know, like you'll feel better. It's nice. You go to work and whatever. But the real thing is to really bend people's minds and really expand their minds. And, you know.
Well, how did it go?
Well,
if he did have a two-tiered approach, a bait-and-switch approach,
yeah. Yeah.
So we can see how TM and its many of its cousins baited
yeah.
everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the switch?
Well, the switch is as you continue on and get into the organization, and then there's a channel to go very deep and dark. You can start to float.
Where's the display? You can float. Where are the fruits of realization, whatever that may be to you, because who knows, in the TM organization?
Well, I don't know any more than I know about any other organization. I mean, you know.
Katie said.
I'm not,
the only rule of the work is that when you think it can't get any better, it gets better. And my experience is when you think it can't get any worse, it seems to be.
It works both ways.
We knew that you go. Tell me, I'll be living in the turnaround.
You go both ways.
No, but I do question the whole bait and switch idea, because it seems to me if you set yourself up for a certain reality, or if your image goes so far, then that's where it goes. I mean, you know, it's like, where's the expansion? So I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's better than nothing.
Nothing can prevent someone from experiencing expansion, regardless of what
you're
doing.
And I guess the idea is to set them up for that, yeah. Whatever that means.
Well, we're not talking about anyone other than you at this so-called table. If I make fun of stuff, it's really just to blow off a little smoke and steam to bring the quality of awareness to you, back to you. Yeah.
And I'm certainly not an advocate of TM in particular, you know, any more than anything else, which is fine.
I would have sucked at it because I can't keep a secret. My mantra is, oops.
It's on your Facebook page.
Yeah, that's right. My secret mantra is, don't tell anyone.
So, since it's only about you.
No.
Like Uncle Sam, you.
When you're doing your work, it's an it can be an expansion of you. That's the quality that can appear at any time in any situation. So it's not an issue about what kind of work you do or what you should say.
There's no issue anywhere ever.
That's kind of what I'm trying to say. Because I think there was the sense that trying to help someone ameliorate their pain was somehow an error. But in fact, it's just...
No, there's no error.
...further expression.
Well, it's, again, anything that's appearing in your present imagination that has to do with what you think or one thinks is happening in so-called reality is just imagination. The Tantra suggesting what's really occurring now. What is the nature, texture, geometry, strategy, were there one, of, quote, reality, as if there were a reality. Presently. That's where that kind of question or locus or focus is where the brilliance of your present awareness gets to feel and see and tinker with what's present as reality. That's why I was just for a moment referring to all of these other kinds of processes and teachings which are taught and sold as ameliorative for your angst, your psychological, emotional, spiritual, physical angst. And as long as we participate in ameliorative for angst, we don't get to the actual tantra, the actual bottom line of the profundity or myth of present experiencing.
Is it because we're trying to lacquer over things that are uncomfortable instead of just really being here and maybe opening to the whole thing instead of just
the lacquering over, which is what any ameliorative is designed to do, lacquers over what?
An imaginary self. It makes it more real. Your investment.
And it lasts longer. Protect it.
none of the amelioratives can set you free because they lacquer over a myth.
And you're living in the lacquer instead of recognizing it's just
happening. You are living in lacquer.
Living on the surface.
No pun intended.
It might be brightly shining, high gloss lacquer, but you're living in lacquer still. I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's really up to you to feel the quality and texture of your either present or imaginative experience, and then you be the judge where you feel comfortable or drawn, apologetically or otherwise, to hang out. Because the rabbit hole that opens up when you're done lacquering over yourself could be said to be of a very different nature and quality and discovery of unspeakable novelty when you deal at arm's length with reality rather than through the secondhand news of lacquering over your imaginary angst. I'm not denying suffering.
So we fire the interpreter. Go direct.
Go direct.
This is what your experience means. This is the significance of going from suffering to the amelioration of suffering.
All of the religions basically sell you an intermediary, or dozens of them, depending on the hierarchy.
Although sometimes it's after this lifetime. You know, it's a promise.
But even the sale of that is an intermediary.
Absolutely.
Right? Right. All of them. All of them. So if we have a challenge, and this could be as much of an academic togetherness as a so-called spiritual togetherness, let's just pose this as a kind of an academic problem, a problem of speech, of language, of experience, of psychology, of sociology. How do you hang out, and then how do you communicate when you're done lacquering over yourself? Because all of the feedback that we get from the popular culture, even the right of center or left of center cultures, even the cults within the culture, are all lacquering over. They all create intermediaries. I don't know if there's a single college course that invites, let's just call it, somewhat intelligent, thoughtful persons to get together and discover what communication might look and feel like, or language might look and feel like, if we weren't occupying ourselves as anecdotal symptoms of total crap.
Probably jazz.
That's where I was going. As soon as it popped into my head, the first thing that went to was, well, of course, improvisational jazz.
Or dance.
All art.
Improvisation.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's why, you know, Terence McKenna said, what do we do? What do we do? Make art, he said. More or less, right, participate, live irrationally. Like a Tuesday night, bing, bing, ba, ba, brrr, right? Kind of group. Live irrationally.
That's what his raves were all about.
They were.
You know, he would just go off on dialogue, and there would be all this jazz.
It was an irrational jazz party.
Yeah.
I would say if we get good at this, then that's what we do. We participate in an irrational jazz party.
I say we have a music party at my house. I have more shit than I could imagine.
Let's have a music party.
And shakers and all sorts of music. We'll do it.
Is there a smoking section out on the deck?
Yes, there is.
Okay, name the date.
Whatever you like. Whatever you like.
You know, I like to carry...
Behind the woodpile.
I like to carry Syriac's...
Last night?
Yeah.
Must have been wonderful.
Yeah, he was. You know, I went to, like, support her already.
Yeah.
I like her...
This is that cup.
Yeah. And did we were doing chants.
Yeah.
Our own things that she made up.
Yes.
They were doing drumming and they had gongs. It was structured, you know.
Right.
But, and I can see how it's in a real person. Something to do.
Sure.
You know,
everything is, yeah. Even not doing anything is something to do.
But there's something within all that that's very kind of like sort of centering in a way. It's like, it takes you out of your.
That's why transcendental meditation works. If you do mantra, it's going to have an effect. Everything does. If you play Free Cell, it's going to have an effect. If you use heroin, it's going to have an effect.
But isn't the anticipated effect just imagination?
What's,
you don't really know.
What's not imagination?
It's a pretty safe bet that something's going to happen.
Now we're talking. Pat's like,
but everything,
yeah, I know what she's talking.
You could say everything, were there anything... is effect. What's this? Well, it's effect. I mean, experiencing is effect. Taking cause and effect off the table. Still, what? Look, this is right, nonstop effect.
With no cause.
Yeah, without cause.
You'd have to zoom out and presume time and impart some elements to say there's the cause and there's the effect. And who's speaking right now? You see how it just flowers into this complex thing that
once
is really a thing.
Once you, yes, once we get a sense that this is presently, evocatively, acausally effervescing, that includes your imagination, that includes your consciousness, that includes your beliefs, that includes your superstitions, it includes the clothes you wear, it includes the things you think you need to do or the things you think you did prior to this moment. It's all just presently effervescing. And it's nothing. Though it's what there is. Right? Texturally, experientially, whatever that means is, oh, this is what it is. But everything that's thought about it, imagined about it, is what? Nothing. Really nothing at all.
Backwash.
Complete backwash. Now that observation, if you could call it that, could put a chink in the cash register of an entire universe of amelioratives. The geometry is it once you occupy this effervescence as a durational, durable, individuated self, you've got more problems than Job.
It's like there's a little seed that just pops up and says, something's outside of you, and that's it. And then it's just like, okay, I need to do something, there's some pressure, there's something going on, and you can water it and feed it for as long as you want.
But what if, as in right now, you don't have to occupy the irrefutability of your present experience as self. If we go right to this tantra and give the littlest affection or attention to what we think is suffering in the first place, rather than leap over it, presume it to be true, and then spend a life in amelioratives, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't make any guarantee. But why not give it a whirl? There's nothing imposing upon you presently that's saying how you must live, how you must think, what you think about. If there is an identity structure, I don't see any chains. I don't see your identity structure in handcuffs.
Pretty voluntary.
So, okay, let's say that this is so is involuntary. Even I would say that it imagines itself to be discrete, in a discrete photonic flesh sheath package. Could be voluntary or involuntary. I'm not really sure. Because if this is absolutely doing itself, if it's unbroken, unbreakable, and what you take yourself or any of us take ourselves to be as a discreetly existing experiential packet, is that voluntary or involuntary?
I think it just happens.
If it's just happening, which is another metaphor, nothing here is true, but okay, if it just happens, then one might glean from that that it's involuntary.
Well, again, it just suggests there's something outside of you that could be voluntary or involuntary.
Yeah, and suggests
some kind of outside pressure from somewhere, coming in from somewhere. I don't know where.
We first have to anthropomorphize this mayhem as something, then to attribute being voluntary or involuntary. Right? Yes.
It was almost as if I was more effluent.
Yeah, I promise I won't look over there anymore. So you can remain in absolute vacuity.
When Peter did that thing where he scared you.
Oh, yeah.
I hate when he does that. Yeah. It's interesting to glimpse how profoundly subtle occupying this mayhem as self is.
It's a
very, very interesting reflex.
It is me.
It's kind of funny for a so-called human to express any confidence in why we exist or have survived.
There's a lot of claims that I did.
Yeah.
A lot of claims. And then when you actually stop holding it so tightly, you start to recognize perhaps maybe you're not doing it.
Well, that's part of the yoga, is an encounter with the impersonal, evocative, effervescent nature of present experiencing, that it's not punctuated by will or choice or thought. or decision or regret or hopes for a better future.
It seems to be, but that's as, I guess, non-linear as the actual seemingly external event, the regret.
Well, you have your, you have the curious evidence of this present moment to ask yourself, where's my regret? Where's my planning? Where's my subterfuge? Where's my Machiavellian brilliance? What have I gotten? I mean, if you were really, really kind of in charge of your present experience, or could make choices, is this where you'd be? There are worse places.
This is really good.
Yeah.
Be able to show up.
What jam?
Well, that is a kind reflection. There's no question about that.
Well, my honest response is fuck no. As a disparate corporeal being or whatever the hell that is, with a serious personality and things to do and shit, I wouldn't be here. Absolutely.
You wouldn't, right?
No.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not having a good time. I'm just being honest about, you know, if I had that perspective. Of,
well, I think I would take this and move it someplace else.
No, they do something. They mix it
outside. Sunshine, poolside.
Yeah, right? You'd be in a chopper. I mean, whatever imaginary crap you can make up, you know. I don't know.
But I
might be with people my own age.
The rhythm of your biological unfolding, the waking, the sleeping, the eating, the elimination, the bathing, the illness, the tears, wear and tear, the self-repair, is you're doing it.
Something breaks down, and all of a sudden, we look for some kind of meaning. Why?
Well, then instead of why, it's aw.
It becomes like front and center.
Well, it's easy to do that too, right? In other words, whatever state you're in, it's easy to be in that state.
Front and center.
Right? If you're experiencing gratitude, grace-filled joy, because of the evocative mystery of all things, easy as pie. If you're
have eggs and potatoes,
if you are insatiably and inconsolably miserable, it's easy as pie. All that's appearing in call it consciousness, and consciousness is not a thing, nor does anything appear in it. But all that's appearing as experiencing is easy as pie. The misery and the realization. As if you have to lift a finger or agree with something, get it right, repeat the mantra, take the vow.
Right, so the easy part is that it shows up. Maybe maybe not how we relate to it.
But even the way,
has nothing to do with you.
But even the way that
you, that's right. He's choosing to relate.
But
to
But even
it
the way or not, even right. the way that you relate to whatever it is that you're relating to is easy as pie.
Because it just happened.
It's all just happening. Once we, you could say, put a bookmark in what's happening. Well, from the vantage point of self-interest. Once you bookmark present experiencing from the vantage point of self-interest and continuity, you're miserable. And you don't even recognize it. We don't even see how miserable we are and how instantaneously and effortlessly so. Once this or we punctuate present experience as a bookmark, as an entity.
Meaning once it becomes about me, then it really sucks.
That's right.
That's another way of saying
that. But I think also then without blinking an eye, we go in the future and the past.
That's more insight into the same geometry. Yes.
This is too painful. Let me teach
you. Or I can have like some sort of great moment, and then you're like, oh, that was a great moment.
Yeah.
That takes away too, right?
Well, takes away. You can't take away.
Yeah.
Or even add to. We're just looking at the.
Annoying, to hear the comment.
Yeah.
We annoy ourselves
to death. Yeah.
We annoy ourselves to death. What's the mechanism of that annoyance? Well, it's the impulse, which is effortless and simple as can be, that there's identification accompanying the present mayhem of experiencing.
I feel like even taking your identification makes it a little far for me. It's just this bizarre, like, sense that there's something outside of me that is exerting some sort of pressure from some imaginary place or something. It's like a very subtle thing that pops up.
That's right. So look at the dynamic or the geometry of any kind of individuated, subtle individuated experiencing where something can be inside or outside of you. That's identification.
Right. But that still is like prior to even me taking it and making it mine. It's like a very subtle impression that there's something outside of me.
Outside of
my experience. God only knows.
It's fun to look at the genesis of subtle impression appearing presently. To really get a bead on, to observe how identification springs into life in your experience. Because identification with whatever is not default. It's not by default. You're not a victim of the beautiful strangeness of identification. Which would suggest that this or you could apply your present affection, interest, sensitivity to actually see, metaphorically, of course, the genesis of identification occurring in your present experience. Because that's possible, even though we don't know what it is, this idea of self-realization exists in the first place. Because this is capable of seeing itself with such humor that it doesn't identify. Or even if it does identify, it knows better. That's what all the excitement is about in those amongst people that are profess to be interested in enlightenment. Profess to be.
You were saying that the other night, I can't remember exactly, but
Thank goodness.
It's just it was something like, it had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
What has nothing to do with each other?
They. Well, we can, we'll play with that. Yes. Yeah.
Is that because that if there isn't anyone, there's no one for it to have anything to do with? I don't even know what I'm saying. Because it seems like it would have to, you know, there'd have to be some filter that's through, otherwise how would it speak through a voice? So then the twain wouldn't be, except for if there's nobody there, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. If this were more than one thing,
yeah,
all kinds of stuff would be possible.
Yeah.
It's like a very subtle little seed that is, I don't know, it's interesting. You just feel it, like, sense it in some way.
Before we go on a tear about what happened to me, what's happening to me, what's going to happen to me, whether I like it or not, what I'm going to do about it, who I'm going to tell all about it. What's this? What is this? Before we jump into a stand-up routine.
There seems to be an infection that sprouts up, like, moments, just... I get glimpses of everybody just being big little kids, and I just love them all. Until it switches, and certain little kids I can't stand.
It was the same way in kindergarten.
Yeah, but for the most part, when it seems this is kind of vivid, there's that.
And I'm contradicting myself.
You're not alone.
It's a jazz.
It's a jazz thing, yeah.
Exactly.
You're not the only bullshit artist at this table. Sounds good. Try that.
And equally, I mean, I do say that to myself sometimes when I catch myself.
Well, don't be so stingy.
Yeah. You're where it really counts.
Let others in on the good news.
I do say that to myself.
Yeah, the loops, I know.
The same return.
Right.
Saga. A made up bullshit.
Yeah.
That's what makes me afraid.
Yeah.
The loop. Infinite.
Yeah.
How do you unloop it? Rewrite the program?
Yeah. That's great. That question is what fuels everybody's interest in ameliorative's.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yes? Unloop? How do I unloop?
It's the one that got away.
Yeah.
I realize that there is a step in acknowledging the fact that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a
because
you can't come to the question.
Come up with, like, crappy crap in your head.
Right.
And believe it's true. You know, believe it's true. And I do. Of course, I do that. I'm not.
Yes, we do.
Maybe for a lot or whatever you're...
Is it possible to just lose interest in the one that seems to be looping? Is that what your threshold like interest in is? You just drop the one that's looping, and then what's the problem with the loop? Just
the recognition of looping is not separate from the imagination of a self looping. That you're on the receiving end of looping as an unhappy camper. So the typical question is, I'm an unhappy camper. Why are you an unhappy camper? Because I'm looping. I want to stop looping so I can be a happy camper. Looping and you are not two.
It's a very subtle, like there's some kind of bizarre pressure coming from somewhere over here. It's really weird.
It's the puppet master. You're feeling those strings.
But they're not real.
Anything I can remove?
I got a lot of problems. You can have them all.
Can you play with or discover what this is or what you are underneath the affliction of looping? Well, let's ask it. Here this is. Is there anything about you that is unafflicted by looping?
Well, just that which recognizes the looping.
Like Saturday night, something like that. Ah! I have a friend that's
see, if attention and interest, motive, is focused on anti-looping, then you still remain the victim of everything that you can't control, which happens to be everything. That's a misery. That's a misery that I'm fond of. Yeah.
Last time I dreamt that I knew that everything was a dream, but that it still didn't stop people from pissing me off.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, and I still hate you. What?
Just because you had the revelation that everything's a dream doesn't mean that they did. So they're likely to continue to be committed to pissing you off. Well, quit your job and become a guru. Wake them up. Tell them their mind is shit. Make friends.
That's a pretty honest impression, I think, of like why you might want to wake someone up, right? It's like, no, I really care about you. You're like, maybe they'll leave me the fuck alone.
It's like I sold my car.
Nice. So. Congratulations. Before we spend a lot of energy and time, in trying to ameliorate ourselves from looping, find out, or go on an adventure to find out, at least, if there's anything here, as in present, that doesn't loop, or that's unafflicted by the presence of looping.
You know, I wonder if looping, you know how, I mean, I certainly get
looping
all the time. You know, maybe it's a song or some theme or whatever. Maybe I've been doing something in the environment, just that environment comes back in my brain. But it's sort of a good way to evaluate what's going on. You know that it's fictitious, you know, that it's just this dream imagination type thing. So it gives you a chance to recognize it for what it is. You know, it's just an opportunity to have something that's so clearly made up, fictitious, and just the wrong old stuff happening, whatever. I mean, not that I have any great techniques.
Neuronal or moronal?
Both.
Ah, wasn't quite sure of the...
Depends whether he's wearing a mask or not.
Yeah. Our loyalty tends to be with the effluent, which is affliction. Our game plan, because we are NFL strategizers.
Not for long.
Not for long. Strategy is to just feel this. The possibility then is one's loyalty shifts from being the disgruntled looper back, not that there's a direction, to that this is so. And there's no way that you are going to be an accomplice to looping or affliction. But in order for that to really take root, it can't be imaginary. It's a yoga because yoga suggests that it's a vital engagement, not just philosophical fancy. That vital engagement encourages one to see here, wherever this is, nobody knows, now, whenever that is, and it doesn't last anyway. This is free of looping. The essence of you, of this impersonal arising effervescence, is not looping, nor can it be afflicted by looping. Then there's no need to invest in medicines that ameliorate looping.
But the looping isn't necessarily the
thinking.
Thinking.
the thinking and the ruminating are just, you could say, organically, let's call it biologically, bioluminescently, part of the landscape of experiencing. Okay. You go for a walk. The geese are in the sky. There's crickets in the grass. The sunlight is just doing more than you can even begin to describe. You're in an entirely immersive field of conscious contact with a sense experience, sensual experience, which is...
And here comes the sun.
And then here comes the sun. Comes on at the PA at the mall.
Okay. And?
I forgot what I was going to say. I got lost in bliss.
You were stuck on the train and you had this person talking incessantly next to you.
Like you, yeah.
You know.
No, I mean like any of us, not just pointing out you. Yeah. What I was going to say, if I may just for a moment, all of this stuff is appearing in your experience, irrefutably so. So is thought.
So is a subtle impulse that I'm other.
All of this.
All of it
is also appearing as, could we say, an element, a constituent of what we refer to as experience.
As long as you're not making a story about the last time you felt that way.
Well, that's, yes, but that's just, again, appearing as what we call thought.
Right.
As association. So thought and association and identification with thought and association as self is appearing as you could say, impersonally and inertly as the bounty of the sun or the soil or the creatures that may be present. Right? And so the same call it awareness that appreciates all that's appearing sensorially and sensually is also capable of hearing, seeing, feeling the movement of looping. But we become curiously identified with the looping as self. You don't look at the sun and say, that's myself. A cricket, a fox, fox scat, and say, that's myself. But the thinking... That's all of a sudden me?
That's a good
thing. Oh, thank goodness. We identify with looping as self. But it's not.
It's funny because some of those strategies I've read about maybe interpreted poorly. Thinking, you know, it's negated, you know, nitty, I am that, you know, but in reality, it would be that I am that too, right?
This is what takes down our friend from New Jersey,
yeah.
Perhaps it will never meet, with respect to nitty, nitty.
Yeah.
There's nothing to nitty, nitty upon. There's nothing to refuse.
Yeah.
Some content or absent content is simply...
There's nothing to refuse. By even lifting the slightest finger to apply neti neti, which is a kind of refusal, a kind of discrimination, a kind of measure, a kind of comparison, right? An effortful, you could say, look... Okay. Rock'em, sock'em, Buddha bots. You see, before you even idealize, anthropomorphize, take for real anything that's occurring as present experience, what is it? And therefore, what's going on that could benefit by refusal? Or some kind of discrimination? What's not that? Well, everything is not that, including what's saying not that. I mean, and to all, to, you know, to some, let's just call it professional credit for the gentleman in New Jersey, his approach is sound in that he's trying to use a methodology to, right, get behind.
Right, so there's still a clever meaning behind the...
That's always the trip up, isn't it?
It could be like a, you know, like a behavioral ameliorative to that. Like if somebody's engulfed in something that...
If it works for ADHD, OCD, and some kind of mantra approach... Which is an ongoing dissociation with identification with looping. Sure, why not? Use it for as long as it may give you nachas, relief, good feeling. But that's mechanical, right? Freedom, as if there were any or could even be any, is a little different motive, in a sense, than amelioration.
It's amelioration if you're taking the self and saying, help it, help it, help it. It's freedom if you're taking the self and you really just kind of stop investing.
Freedom is everything's off the table, right? Medication is partial. Yeah, medication is partial. Freedom is absolute.
And you're not going to experience it if you're really trying to hold on down here to all that keeps you safe. If you really say, well, I want freedom, but I got to hold on to this. I got to hold on to one or two ameliorators and a whole lot of other things just to make sure.
The imagination of a self, by virtue of being the imagination of a self, can never experience freedom. Because of the curious geometry of clinging and durability. Wanting to be the survivor of, call it enlightenment, to be the enjoyer of freedom from looping. But it's partial. I think it's so easy to get used to having no problems. It's not. You think it's easy to get used to the view that this is unafflictable? What would you do if your favorite client, as in you, bellied up? I don't mean physical death. I mean if all that's been invested, right, in the perfection and the amelioration, the medication and the satisfaction of me, flatlined. What would I do? Look at all of the artifacts of our life that are all aimed at the beautification and amelioration of my experience. That's
sort of exactly happening.
Absolutely. It's a little disconcerting. If me as the locus, the demanding little child that I am, were to just back off into the mist, And I looked at my life and my clothing, my accoutrements, my automobile, and everything. I would say, oh my God, this is the citadel of the beautification and amelioration of the imagination of me. But that was no longer afflicting you. You wouldn't even know what to do with the artifacts of your life.
It's no navigation system.
Does that describe the inertness that, Ramana, people like him have gone through when they just basically, they were just hanging out. People fed them and stuff.
Some are lucky. Some get fed. Some don't. Why don't you check it out and see if we show up and bring you food?
Yeah, let's see how long he goes.
Let's go to Sparky's house and feed him. He's probably getting hungry.
Yeah.
Sitting there in his diaper and shit.
I don't think I can push away from him. He'll like
it. We'll bring some peacocks and stuff over to your house. Anyone is trying to get back.
You can't unbite the apple, right?
It's no fun if you don't know you're an angel, so it's a good thing you bit the apple.
An angel. Beloved dying.
If I accept, I know it's kind of cumbersome, but if I accept that none of this defines me, I can really chill in heaven or hell, however it shows up. It's like, man.
But there's still no bridge then? I mean, I know I'm back to that.
Well, there's no bridge, not because there's two things between which there's no bridge. There's no bridge because one of those things doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You have to make up the other thing and then create a bridge.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like there is the other. It's just that we're the other as well. It's everything else is the other. So, I mean, you know, at least for one stage in the game. Other than
this does that too, yeah.
It's fine. It's just that, I've seen the other and I am that.
This present experiencing is all that is. This is all that is. This is all that is.
So do you find yourself making the assumption that you have longer periods of time than I do
pretend?
Avalanche. And do you find yourself like bored?
You can say bored or not bored, and it doesn't really matter because we're always looking at qualifiers to apply to our so-called experience, as in bored or not bored, restless or not restless, swimming with angels or with somebody less than that. Yeah. I can remember all kinds of stuff that happened in my so-called experience prior to this moment. Do you know what that amounts to? Zippity-doo-dah. one of the clever ways, you could say, that identity loves to hook up with you is to qualify conditions and moods, ways of being, and then see how present or absent they are in my historical experience, my present experience, or ideally in my future experience. Will I suffer less if this works? See, the collapse of self occurs here. That's the challenge. Here's where it occurs. The moment we start qualifying how it went last week, how it is today, how it's going to be this coming week, right? You can see you're effervescing back in hallucination. And this is terrifying for us, really, because we effervesce in hallucination as a full-time job. And we don't know what it's going to look like or feel like or what we would do with ourselves if that were to stop. Or identification with it were to bottom line. Yes. We complain to each other with great glee how much we're suffering and how much we want it to stop. But we're lying.
Yeah, it's fear that we're lying. It's like, if you're like, hey, you could just stop it, you're like, no, why would I want to do that?
Why would I do that?
Why would I put it in this
place? I'm too busy investing in a remedy for it.
I just want to change the
view. That's the yogic challenge of this right here. Because this right here, there's nothing in it for you. This right here is, you can't put this in a Tiffany's box, even if it were a secondhand one, a used one. You can't put this in a Tiffany's box. This has no utility for you. Happiness is sorry. You're not going to be happy. Replete, satisfied, awake even. You're not going to be anything. Now what do you do?
Any goddamn thing you want to do.
Well, maybe.
Or not.
Or not. I mean, one reason Russell is so cool is because he pretty much does anything he goddamn wants to do. I mean, it has serious repercussions. But in a way, it's kind of like, wow, that guy's, he's got wings. Right? The rest of us, how do we live? Well, in a very narrow bandwidth of near-predictable behavior.
Near-predictable. I like the near
part. Yeah.
Because it's not predictable at all.
I mean, you could do anything. Let's say you could do anything you want today from an arts and crafts point of view. You could paint your face, get sticks, roll in dirt or turds.
Now they have that thing where you can drink wine and paint.
You could drink wine and paint. You could go horseback riding. You could take bow and arrow lessons. Put on camo and walk through the woods making deer noises.
We're going to work it Sunday. You've got to wait until Monday.
I mean, right? This is your life. This is your life. This is your day. This is your life. You could do with this, you're not necessarily jump on a private jet, go visit John Travolta, and then go get a peanut butter sandwich in, you know, Louisiana. You might have, right, monetary limitations in terms of extravagant things to do. But otherwise, this is your life, and this is your day, and this is an art fest. Welcome to Music Fest. But that doesn't mean we're going to go out and just wildly play for the rest of the day in a completely unfashioned, unpredictable, gleeful manner. No, we're going to kind of find the things that we usually do next after we leave this table.
But that can be experienced as a great joy, even though it's mundane.
Absolutely.
So there's no, it doesn't.
Yes.
It doesn't get in the way.
No, nothing gets in the way. Of what? This is all, right now, I don't know what now means, or where we are, or what's happening. This is all that is.
It's only mundane and the same if you believe the lie that it's the same as something you already.
It's interesting to see what makes the beauty of you right now mundane. It's hard to know, really. We want to make sure that enlightenment is accompanied by a very full schedule of ideally entertaining things to do so that I can continue to assert myself, whom I love so much, despite the looping, into a glorious and enlightened future. I'll become a world traveler and talk about the false sense of authorship. Or I'll get on the Oprah Winfrey Show and talk about sitting on a bench. Maybe Rick Archer will call and interview me on BatGap. I sure hope someone recognizes who I have become so I can trumpet my realization to more and more people. And constant attention so I can continue to exist. And then finally I can monetize this. Because you fuckers are useless. Something for everyone. So the guru didn't suffer by having serial intercourse with people over whom he had psychic influence? Because for him, there was nobody there.
That, you can't say that
or her.
About that, about everybody, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, why would they say that? Isn't that true of everybody? All the time.
Well, it could be a convenient way of wiggling out of the...
psychological...
Or the so-called consequences that one's behavior has on someone else. That may be just shy of consenting because of the power of celebrity, the power of influence, of hypnosis. Yeah? Sure. I don't know if it releases accountability.
Yeah.
But then again,
something like that, yeah, exactly.
Seeker beware. There's a sucker, a seeker born every moment. Bye.
Nice seeing you.
Thanks. It's a trip. I'll see you Thursday. Well, we'll talk.
It's delightful to occupy yourself free from looping. And feel yourself in your life with nothing to fix, no appointment to keep, no justification, nothing to defend. And feel this. Feel yourself. Somehow it seems that through our educational process, we were discouraged from living blissfully. I'm not sure why.
Highly irresponsible not to fret. What is it?
Scheme.
Manipulate and arrange.
Yeah, it feels irresponsible.
Yeah.
As if there might even be shame associated with the absence of all of it. Talk about a deep cultural, right? Conditioned imposition. That we would actually be ashamed to be free.
And scared. And like, I don't know if for me it just keeps coming back to this weird current experience of something outside of myself that has any ability to, you know, do whatever, judge, manipulate, qualify. It's bizarre.
Well, it's bizarre, the belief.
Oh, just the feeling or the sense of it that shows up, that feels like there's something outside of me. What's bizarre about that?
Yeah, I mean, is it angst-inducing?
It's anxiety. Immediately. It seems that way. Yeah.
I
don't know which one comes first. I couldn't tell you. I feel them all in one gestalt of anxiety.
This external power is what you're talking about, whatever this is.
Just that there's something, anything that exists that is outside of so-called me.
Well, you know,
like there's a separation, there's a pressure outside of me to do something, you know, anything, right?
It's beyond your thoughts.
oh yeah, maybe I'm thoughts. It's like just a felt sense of separateness.
See, and now, you know, that gets me back to this Hederman talk, you know, about these aren't my thoughts, these are just thoughts, you know, the author, it's the whole authorship. It seems like there's a natural propensity to, to consider my thoughts to be my thoughts. But maybe I've drawn the line in the wrong place. The line is underneath it. But it feels like my thoughts. But then you start hearing other people express the same thing. It's just a quirk of circumstance. If they were in the circumstance and all everything were the same, then they would be expressing it. So it's just sort of generic thoughts.
Who knows? Nobody can say anything about anything. It's like maybe they're so-called my.
I guess after enough means. Circumstantial evidence, it's like okay.
But
all right, I guess.
Even if they are your so-called thoughts, if there is no separation, then who cares? It's like so.
In language. If in language you say, well, here I am, and, you know, this is thinking. Well, that's not my thinking. But when does this come off the table? That's part of the problem. See, identification is a barking noise, right? To suggest some sense of center other than. Some sense of individuation apart from.
Yeah. And then there's all these pressures
apart
on
apart from
it.
Other.
Yeah, and other includes everything.
Weather systems, government, your mother, whatever. It's all in, you know, my thoughts.
And I don't know what to call that. I mean, if consciousness is not really adequate. But, you know, it's about, I can't make sense of something. That might be an underlying aspect.
Yes, landmark?
Definitely, you know, something to say. So, but one thing is like something that they muffles like in your house in America is that we all sort of have our underlying story, which is just sort of a basic thing where everybody has this sort of story together themselves and their rules and everything. And it's been one thing that came for me. So I just, what about this?
Yes.
And that's common, like my first humbly, you know, this 119.
It might be 7.3 billion strong, the what about me refrain. Yeah.
I mean, I realize that that's...
Actually, that was the mantra I got. TM.
What about me? That would have been probably...
What's Sanskrit for what about me?
What's that?
What's the Sanskrit for what about me?
Yeah. Ah! And then, like, okay, we brought the program that would be... Selfish, prideful.
I suck, I'm a sinner, I suck.
Yeah. So let it go of what that pool. I mean, like, what I'm trying to say is you can then see there's a lot of bullshit.
Yes. Well, it's the fractionalizing of a miracle into a particularized interest or locus. Yes, of course it does. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny, because in my own neurosis, it wouldn't be what about me. I don't know what it would be. I'm not the friend. But it wouldn't be what about me.
I say, skip
my thing similar to
mine. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, some variation.
Yeah, you can flavor it.
Yeah.
Mine used to be there's something wrong with me. Now there's something wrong with him.
It's good to mix it up.
Good.
Spread it around. Include as many friends as you can.
Uh-huh. And the cats.
In exactly
cats
what's wrong.
All the cats.
Well, let's be generous for a moment about the...
I think we have to remember in that. And I was just going to say, because
yes.
I was like, if there was nothing left, except...
Yeah, yeah. You see how quickly you zip back to it.
It's like a little Broadway show tune or something. You're zipping back, and there's the chorus.
Yeah.
To be generous.
Nope. What about need makes perfect sense. From the point of view that experiencing is irrefutably so, and sovereign unto itself, and is including quite a bandwidth of conscious contact and sense stimulation. At gross extroverted, which is the natural world, and profoundly introverted, which are the subtle elements of your textural and vibrational experience, which we don't actually codify in language. So experiencing includes the extroverted, the introverted, the gross and the subtle, everything, because it's all that is. And it's sovereign unto itself. Now, from a liberated point of view, were there one, it would end there. Not that it ends, because that this is so and sovereign unto itself has no bottom, has no beginning, and has no end. Its effervescence is infinite and unchartable. But doesn't it make perfect sense to be generous that this being sovereign unto itself and infinite in every possible execution, locution, locus, and reference would say, oh, this must be me. So what about me?
Yeah.
What about me makes perfect sense
yeah.
in a non-suffering metaphor.
There's not any more, if it's just one singularity, that's all it is.
That's all it can do.
Yeah, it's weird. The idea
and that's cool.
Narcissism, because then it becomes, I mean, it sort of becomes like,
universal, narcissistic, addicted to itself.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah,
never-ending party. Yeah.
Narcissism without the downside.
Without the downside, yeah.
Yeah. So the what about me, which for us may be lamentable because of the way we experience or identify with the miracle of experiencing, creates the imagination of disparate entity, discreetly existing, solely existing, is the same or different than discreetly existing. You are solely existing, it's true. yes, this is solely existing, so that's why to be generous, to give it a break. It's easy for it to say, oh, me, what about me, what about me, what about me, what about me, there's no end to me, what about me, nonstop, and it does. But let's say in the primate, this otherwise relaxed, right, identification can show up as a hell realm.
Well, and if it, it seems to me that if that's not that you can control it, but that if it was, you know, like if you were rude to, you know, something manifesting to you, it wouldn't be that big deal. And in some ways you might feel, you know, loving and affectionate, but it wouldn't really, if it's just you.
See, this is what's odd.
Yeah.
That what's included in the primate suffering model is what about me, what about, what about me, but not as an entirety. As a particularization. That's why it suffers. Because if it were the big what about me, where would the problem be? The problem occurs is the big what about me means this is all that is. Absolutely sovereign unto itself. It never departs from itself. It can't be other than itself. No matter how infinitely permutating it is, it's never not itself. So why shouldn't it just go, what about me now? What about me now? What about me now? What about me now? I mean, worse than Russell Brand. So then a sense of individuated sovereignty is borrowed from the non-individuated sovereignty, where this doesn't suffer. Now, it's not possible for what we call mind to be so inclined to a much bigger view. Because when we use the word mind to refer to what appears in mind, it's already in the field of particularization, comparison and measure and separation and individuation. So that mind, the referencing mind, the locus-driven mind, you could say is not capable of non-identity or absolute identity with all that is, because its nature is already split, bifurcated, dual, right? So the same evidence that we have to be miserable, which is the lowercase what about me, is the same evidence which is your liberating window. Same evidence. You are all that is. On Monday, it sucks. On Tuesday, not so bad. It's the same, you are all that is. And this being all that it is, appearing to itself with absolute sovereignty, impunity, and infinity, can identify with itself pretty much any way it damn well pleases. And does.
Clearly. So, like she was saying, here.
Yes. Well, yes, of course. But you are. That's why be afraid. That's what's going down. This is the fact. Your present experience is disappearing. Now, It is not leaving any trace of itself. It will never be found again. It will never occur or be found again. It is. You are indeed non-stop disappearing. But not just that. You are also non-stop, irrefutably, effervescently so. As you are disappearing. This is not a simple conundrum. It is a transcendental conundrum. If it were a simple conundrum, you know, we were to work this out a long time ago. But it's not a simple conundrum, it's transcendental. What's happening right now is transcendental. It has no explanation. At a minimum. It's a Coen or a Coen Brothers movie. It's kind of the same.
That too.
Yeah.
One dies every moment and is alive into infinity.
Fair enough. Good question. That's the poem.
That's what it is.